Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Vic Slayton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting. Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part panel show, part vicious competition, but it's usually quite nice. I found everyone plays nicely together as a rule, but this could be the day that all changes. So okay. The panel today, we have got the return of the dandy man, Tom Tuck. Now, you haven't been on for a while and people do miss you.
Oh, that's nice.
I know. Because friends and family, I like to pretend there are other listeners, but I think it is mainly friends and family at the moment, are texting me asking where you are. The common view seems to be we've had a falling out, so this will be our way of going public that we haven't.
We have, but we've got a contractual obligation to keep doing this, so we shan't talk about the slight.
And the listeners can't possibly know, but you are impeccably dressed today.
Yep, I put a tie on for a Zoom call.
I know. What colour would you say your jacket is?
The jacket? I would say this is eggshell blue.
Oh, nice. And a green tie to go with it.
I think I might be mildly colourblind, but I think that's halfway between green and blue.
Well, the listeners at home aren't going to know. They'll have to believe what I tell them. And it's my show and I say it's green. So... We have the return to the game by the wonderful Twitch superstar that is Jen Smith.
You're ever too generous to me.
I don't understand well. Twitch. So when people turn up, I assume that you must be a superstar. Is that not how it works?
Not quite. We're trying.
I like it, though. I like what you've done with the place. So
I fell into Twitch just on the basis that after stand-up just disappeared overnight, I was desperately craving attention. So I thought, I'll go to strangers on the internet. That'll do it.
It does work. It does work. Any attention will do. I'm getting more and more confrontational on Facebook now just to feel something. Like, get involved in conversations I'm not even part of. And a first time arcader as well. I'm very excited. One of the basically inspirations to all women has managed to scale the wall of comedy panel shows.
One show. I don't have Matthew back yet.
That is one more than most of us. Athena Confetti, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
What's it like over there?
What's it like? I'll tell you exactly. It's like once you get there, you do think to yourself, "Is that it?" It's like going to sort of the Queen's for dinner, and you get there, and it's like she gives you beans and toast. You think, "Oh, okay, you're really good at this." No, it's lovely. It's great.
Beans sounds more like Princess Anne, to be fair.
Tom, this is you experiencing what life is like for female comedians that make it onto panel shows. Do you know what? If women don't find you funny, Tom, we're going to think all men aren't funny.
Yeah.
That's the wig you carry.
You know what I should do? You know what I should do? I should do loads of takes, so you can use them to cut away to me when all of you guys say something funny.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that sounds fair. Right, that's what we've got to do.
Let me tell you something funny about the panel search experience. This is really funny. So I turn up and you take, this is normal, I guess, for a lot of like TV work, you take different outfit options to see which, so you like clash of other people and a background. And I, you know, I really picked my outfits, the colours, even the textures. I wear chiffon, I wear this, whatever. So I go in my outfit, they pick my outfit, I put it on. And then one of the dudes turns up and he turns up wearing like quite dirty trainers, something out of Mountain Warehouse, something else. And I'm like, okay, fair enough. Well, he's obviously got options to change into. Then he gets changed and he comes back out and he's wearing dirty trainers, something out of Mountain Warehouse. And I just thought, this is just a Tuesday to you, isn't it? This isn't
even... He's got a look. Apparently...
That's his brand.
I just thought...
something right.
It's just no effort made at all.
No, it was like I wouldn't even wear what he wore to a pub lunch, you know.
Only telly. Don't worry about it.
And I just thought it was brilliant.
Like, are you telling me that I need to glam up?
Well, just make it, like you can look casual. Those are his house clothes.
Tommy's putting lipstick on.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I'll be honest, I feel very underdressed at the moment, actually. But you know, like I wouldn't wear this on TV. Like, I know I went for your podcast, it's like, apologize profusely for, but I wouldn't leave the house like this.
Well, you look great. So people who are naturally attractive don't need to try as hard. And I feel fine about my choices. I'm finding it really distracting that Tom's got lipstick on and it's working.
Mm.
I think that's the thing that troubles me most.
It has become you, Tom.
It's a strong look, Tom.
What is that? What shade is that? That's a good red.
5'10".
Oh. What's the make?
What's the brand?
Good question.
Did you shoplift that? Because normally you do know.
No, people give me makeup because
who?
Reasons. It's Rimmel.
Rimmel. Oh, okay. A bit Rimmel.
Oh, that's going to transfer all over everything.
Yeah. I was hoping for like a fancy name, like Blossoming Rose. Instead, we've got 5'10".
It's called Best of the Best.
Oh, okay.
5'10".
And do you feel the best of the best?
Feel pretty sexy.
Right, we're gonna get on. We're gonna get on the game. He's gonna have a full face on by the end of this hour. Could be mascara, eyeliner. Anyway,
poker, but with makeup. But oh, now you got to do eyeliner.
Yep, he's gonna do it, guys. He's gonna do it. And the category is weddings. Who's been to a good or bad wedding?
Oh, I went to a wedding I've been to loads of weddings. And there's this wedding that I went to. I've got a twin brother, and it was like a family wedding. So it was a neighbour who we were neighbours with for like forever. So it was like family wedding, really. So we went with my mum, dad, brother, they went over, and it's a famous wedding because my twin brother got like disgustingly drunk at this wedding, to the point where he, by the end of it, he'd thrown up on himself, and he had sick all down his trousers, all
legend.
Down his shirt, but I get drunk at weddings, but just not family weddings. So I once got drunk, really drunk, at my friend's. So truly, my friend's dad was getting married. It was a second marriage. So I went to his wedding, and they had the kind of reception at their house. And I threw up in their rose bush after. That's threw up in the front garden. So that's what you do. If you're going to get drunk, don't do it around family. Do it around friends.
No, that is good advice that I wish I took. Tom, what about you? What's your best wedding that you've ever been to? Have you ever been a best man?
I've never even been asked.
Oh, you've got very best man energy.
Oh, fair.
Maybe you should hang around with less bohemian people.
Like, no, you would marry me, so you'd probably put me as the best man. No, that's fair. I think my favourite wedding was on the west coast of Scotland. Any of you know Greg McHugh?
No,
wonderful comedian.
You can say anything you like about him.
Well, wonderful comedian and actor. He's in Fresh Meat.
Oh, right, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, weren't you in that?
Yes, I was.
That's the only episode I watched.
Oh, yeah, but so that scene, the only scene I have in is with Greg, which is lovely. So I went to his wedding, booked on the west coast of Scotland.
Sorry, Tom. I'll catch up after this, I promise.
Do you deliberately avoid it?
It's a very well-written show.
Tom's text listed on the credits. You were like, nah. No.
I'll skip this one. I'll go to the next one.
His wedding was on the west coast of Scotland because his then fiance is from there. And so we went to a tiny fucking place on the west coast of Scotland. And I was living in London at the time, as I still am. Don't know why I said at the time. And so I flew to Inverness. And I thought, you know what? I'll fly to Inverness, then I'll get a train over. Easiest way to do it. I bought the train, bought the plane ticket, and then realised that after six, there are no trains out of Inverness at all. So I couldn't get a refund on the plane ticket. So I then had to just fly to Inverness and then stay in an Airbnb for the night and then get a train the next morning to the west coast of Scotland. And I got there and there was a beautiful thing. There's a sign that said Strom Ferry, and then in brackets beneath, there is no ferry.
Oh, God.
So we were in Strom Ferry, and I was hauling my suitcase from the train station up to the main road. And then a car slowed down, opened its window.
Your connection's gone a bit wonky. Now he's just frozen in an endless pout.
I mean, the lipstick's definitely working, though.
It looks like he's not wearing it, so it just looks like he's just a kind of like Michael Gove, like wet lips.
What is it about men and Rimmel?
It's the one they know. It's the one they know.
I've got a friend who started wearing nail varnish, and he went, "Oh yeah, I've bought Rimmel." I was like, "Mate, no,
it's the cheapest one. That's what men have got."
But they don't know that it's cheap because Kate Moss does it. It's because Kate Moss advertises them.
A lot of hate against me. Is that right?
No.
Yeah, we think you deserve better. Is what we're saying, Tom.
You deserve better than Rimmel. Is what we're saying, Tom.
What you shoplift when you're
14. Oh, no, this is
Rimmel.
Yeah, you steal Rimmel.
You don't buy Rimmel.
Buy it. Oh, God.
I mean, that is precision.
That's really good. How did you do that? Look what he's doing.
How can you do that in a Zoom reflection?
Oh, well,
is that Rimmel as well? Because that's bleeding all down your face.
Yeah. Is it Rimmel?
Go Maybelline.
It is Rimmel.
It is right. Rimmel.
Right, we've got sidetracked. So, we got to you rolling your sad case in Strom Ferry.
Strom Ferry. So I was rolling my suitcase up the hill from the train station to the main road, and a car pulled over, and a guy rolled down the window and went, "Are you here for the wedding?" Yes. Yeah. Do people not come here often? No. can I give you a lift? And I was like, yes, yeah, that'd be lovely. So he gave me a lift, and during the maybe 3-minute drive, turns out I was staying at his brother's house. That's how small a place it was.
Oh, God.
And randomly, turns out that the wedding was taking place in the ferry, the field.
Not in the ferry. There wasn't a ferry. There was no ferry.
In the field opposite the place I was staying, which is perfect. So I, got in, got changed into my suit, etc., and then went into the yurt that the wedding was happening. And it's like, I've been in this yurt before. I know I've been in this yurt. And then I asked Tommy Shepherd, now an SNP. I asked Tommy Shepherd, was this the yurt that the Stand Comedy Club used in 2014? He's like, yes, it is. Like, Christ, I thought I was going mad.
Like, have I been to this wedding before?
I've been to this yurt. It was a humanist ceremony. It was very lovely. And I didn't cry.
Important, because you're making
well,
a friend.
Yeah. The eyeliner would be all over your face.
Because you're not investing in good materials. know. I imagine you'd do a good best man speech as well.
I am relatively good at public speaking, so yeah.
Well, you need to re-recruit, get better friends. Like I said, less bohemian, more traditional. Leave school, buy a house, get married. The sensible route. Well, I did that in reverse, and then I found comedy, and now I've become irresponsible and useless. It's great. I had that life, and I didn't want it, so I started doing comedy at 36. It's all a bit too normal for me.
Mm.
I wish I'd done a speech at my wedding, though. People are doing it now.
Their own wedding? No, thank you.
Well, why does the man get to do it?
He's been going on about you enough already.
No, because I don't get to speak.
I agree. If I ever got to get married, I wouldn't let my partner speak. He's not funny at all.
No. I just...
He's a lawyer. Could you imagine?
See, I wussed out of it. I had the opportunity to, and I wussed out of it. Because I've got this theory that the more fancy your wedding is, then the quicker it expires, right? So ours was so beautiful. Like, it had this Lego theme. It had little Lego builders building the wedding cake. You had to build your own minifigure bar. It was beautiful. 6 months later, dead in the fucking water. To the point, right, I googled how long they make you stay married before you're allowed to get a divorce, and it turns out it's 12 months, and I was like, that's fine, 6 months, we can save that, not a problem.
That's brilliant.
Spoiler, you can't. But there's a really good happy ending to this, right, where it was the day we'd signed the divorce papers, because we were barely talking to each other, but it was like, swap them over, send them off. I was walking through work with my friend, talking about what was happening and all this kind of stuff. And I talked about this boy I dated years ago. I'd had a couple of months with, and I called him Sexy Simon because he was astronomically out of my league, right? It was incredible. I don't know why that happened. And I said to my friend, I said, I'm not being funny, but I think Sexy Simon was nicer to me in 2 months than my ex-husband was in 8 years. And my ex-husband walked around the corner. I was like, oh well, karma's a bitch, isn't it?
I really thought that was going to end in you marrying Sexy Simon.
No.
I was like, oh my god, Sexy Simon.
You call him Sexy Simon mainly because you knew someone else who was very simple.
No, I knew no other Simons. He just deserved a moniker.
Wasn't a descriptive, it was just a
He
truth.
Was like an Adonis, Tom. I can't stress this enough. I've never met anybody like that again since.
Did you ever play Sexy Simon Ted?
I mean, that's a little bit personal. I think that's for later on.
Oh, I went out with somebody who was of an Adonis body, but a very simple mind.
Oh, no.
Very briefly.
Body like a statue, mind like a statue.
Yeah, indeed. He was trying to make it in local wrestling, not like the proper sport, like WWE.
Like amateur, that's like pro wrestling. Yeah.
And he just travel around leisure centres in South Wales. And he had quite a cult following. They hated me.
It's because you've taken him off the table. He's no longer a single free agent.
Well, no, but if you take him off the table, you can't hit through the table.
Oh, I only went to one of those matches because it was just too sad.
And they get the folding chairs out around the ring, like 20 people and friends of family. Yeah, I know the type. I've got, in my experience, the better the body, the worse the sex. This is my, the more time, because the amount of time and discipline it takes to kind of get that kind of like body, like they've had no time to invest in like becoming considerate.
Becoming real humans. They're so bony. It's
the hip bones, man. It's not comfortable.
It's not, it's nice to look at.
Yeah.
But you know, that's about it.
Poor really? Sexy Simon. Shit out of luck.
Sexy Simon.
Jen's back on the market now, but he's wasting his time. Mm-hmm. Him and his horrible hip bones can seek their business elsewhere. Well, that took a turn, didn't it? Right.
Oh, that was only the first one, wasn't it?
Yeah. I didn't really allocate anyone's points because I was too busy having a nice time. This keeps happening. I insisted I needed a format, and I'm the only person that doesn't adhere to it so far. So, right, I'll just guess. Right, and the ball is... It is local pubs. Who's got a good local pub? Who's got a bad local pub?
Well, I'm very sad, actually, because the second nearest pub to me has shut because of the pandemic. It's not going to reopen.
Oh.
Oh, like forever?
Yeah. It's really sad. It's called the Old Dairy. Well, was. And
in Fleetwood Park?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that shut in?
Yeah.
Sorry, this is getting very London-centric.
Jen's down in South Wales going... Yeah. No.
But that's shutting because it's a bit posh, that pub. You don't imagine posh pubs shutting because of you know, it's a bit of a...
You do, because those are the ones the property developers want.
Yeah. Oh, that is sad. I've had a few bad dates in there.
like I love that pub because it was literally, yeah, like about 100 seconds from my front door. And just... You know, just
how close is the closest local pub then, if that's 100 seconds away? Do you live in a pub?
Behind this wall are the pubs. There's one on the end of the street, but it's very... That's a very hipster pub. So,
what's that one called?
The Brave Sir Robin.
Oh. Okay.
I find it surprising that you can't fare through hipster pubs, though, Tom, because they'd accept you as one of their own.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, the last time I went in there, actually, they had a pint for only £3.80, which in London is exceptional.
I imagine they'd worship you like a god if you still had your twirly moustache, to be honest.
Oh, yes. I've taken off the moustache because I'm playing Bernie Sanders in a Zoom call next week.
It accentuates the lipstick you put on, so it's fine.
I actually know that the moustache and the lipstick does look quite good together. But the Old Dairy's gone, and I'm mainly sad because it had the best pub quiz ever.
What was so good about it?
Three things. Number one, the second biggest cash prize went to the team who finished second last.
Intriguing.
Okay.
So it incentivizes people to stay and not to throw the game.
Ah, I see.
Number two, it was beautifully intricate. So the picture round is 20 pictures, and you have to pick out five groups of four, but also say what the names are, but what the links are in those five groups. At one time, one of the groups was people mentioned in the Billy Joel song "We Didn't Start the Fire."
Oh.
Now, we didn't get it, but we were very, very glad to the question.
You're just glad it exists.
And third, all of the people who sort of read the quiz know me by name now, and one of them emailed me the other day and said, "Oh, we're sort of doing it online now. But I will. I'm sad that I'm never going to hear you shout 'fuck the Pats' every time the New England Patriots were mentioned. I would scream 'fuck the Pats'.
Does that happen often?
So much.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Just to trigger Tom.
They've been in the Super Bowl for a number of years, but fuck the Pats. If you support the Pats, it's like supporting the stock market. I mean, what kind of arsehole are you?
When you said fuck the Pats, I thought you meant the guy who played the vampire.
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah. I was like, that's
it. He's too handsome, he must be stopped.
No one deserves being successful.
Like, don't hate, you know, it's not his fault, he's handsome.
Just let him live his life. He's being Batman. It's all good.
No, that makes more sense. Marginally more sense, the actual real truth, than our version. My only experience of the Super Bowl is just picking the team that the cutest men liked, because I only went to look for men. because not a lot of women were willing to stay up that late. So it was like fish in a barrel. It was amazing. But yeah, that's my Super Bowl experience. That's
Jen or Athena, do you have an American football team?
Not really.
It better not be the Pats.
It's definitely not the Patriots.
I like the LA Raiders because I like the hat. So the LA Raiders, that's from NWA. They wear like the LA Raiders. They're a football team, aren't they? Yeah, so I like them.
They're a football team.
Who else? I guess I like the Dolphins because I like dolphins.
Oh my God. This is why people don't want us on panel shows.
I like the Dolphins because they were in Naked Gun, weren't they?
The one that's on the hat.
Yeah, they were.
That's the only thing I know about the Dolphins. They were in Naked Gun.
Sports.
Also in the first, what's it then?
Ace Ventura.
Ace Ventura movie, yeah.
Yes.
when you look back at it.
Problematic.
Problematic.
Yes, we had to cancel that film, didn't we?
We did.
A really good thing,
though. Annoying because it is really funny. Mm. The second one, a terrible thing on all points, but nothing in it problematic. And the first one, really funny and horrendously problematic.
But luckily, we've got Dumb and Dumber. So, yeah.
We can,
you know.
But I read a really good, insightful tweet before we joined this call that was about. And this is where I get all of my education from. It was like, it said that things in the past that we love, like films and books and whatever, them becoming problematic is a good sign, because it means us, the viewers and the watchers, have progressed since then. So we can look at it now and reflect it and go, no, that's really problematic.
Yeah, no, that is true. But I think even at that point, which is what, 94, 95, maybe?
I
think it could have been.
I think it was a problem then.
And I think we should have been better then. But that's why I feel so upset about the first Ace Ventura.
I didn't know anyone had strong feelings about Ace Ventura at all. So I'm with him, man. Discovery.
I kind of can't finish the movie if I watch it now. I have to stop halfway so nothing gets resolved because I can't face the rest of it.
It was a funny era for films, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. It's like Romeo and Michelle's high school reunion was around at the time. And again, very good, but also not great for women.
Mm-hmm. I think that one's fine.
But Janine Garofalo was amazing.
Oh, God, yeah.
she stands up. But yeah, there's something to be said for just leaning in and accepting that you might not be very bright, though, I suppose. So there is a good message in there. You don't have to have invented post-it notes to live a fulfilling life. I was talking about this because I did Molly Milshine's podcast and it was like an academic look at the WAG phenomenon.
Okay.
And it was like the dissertation I wish I'd written. I did so much research. If I'd done half as much research at uni, I wouldn't have got 2-2. I was so ready. I had data. I had insight. That was such a fun hour. But it was just like, why do all the wives and girlfriends? Because like they're held up in this, that they have to be like really intelligent and businesswomen, and they must be a bit stupid if they've married a footballer. But footballers can be a bit dumb as well. They're not always book smart. So maybe they're just happy. Mm. They don't have to be like business people. Because
no one expects either footballers or the wives or girlfriends of footballers to be clever.
No, I wouldn't take trading tips off of a WAG. Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, we've got to invest in Bitcoin because Wayne Rooney's wife said so. Like, I wouldn't do that, no. I
don't. Rebecca Vardy.
She could tell you how to sell a secret story to the Sun. Or would she? We don't
maybe,
know.
Maybe she just really got on really early in court. On GameStop. I reckon Rebecca Vardy was straight in with GameStop and now her shares are through the roof.
I don't know. She strikes me as somebody who's quite media savvy, at the very least. Mm. I think a lot of them have got a lot of sense in how they deal with the media. So the idea that Jordan hasn't created the character of Jordan and cashed in wildly on it in a very calculated way is...
Jordan is a sort of banner example of people underestimating you.
Mm.
Yeah, and she's made a lot of money out of it, and she's fine with it. She's fine with the character.
She's fine with
whatever anyone says about her, because she's got fuckloads of money, thanks.
Yeah.
You be over there griping. I'm just going to sit here and count my
minutes. I'll sit here in my pink sparkly horse box.
Married to you, Andre. I mean, why did we just accept that? That was... it happened and we just moved on. She married Peter Andre.
That's fine. It's all right.
And then they auditioned for Eurovision and we went, oh, God. Yeah.
This is normal.
This is totally fine. Totally
normal. And then the pandemic came and we were surprised. What?
This is the horsemen of the apocalypse have been coming for a long time.
we've had a time, haven't we? Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of time. But yeah, I spent hours searching about wives and girlfriends. That's time I won't get back. Who's the mug? Because I would wager they've not spent a minute researching me. So
I bet you could become penultimate in a pub quiz.
You know that the WAGs, they specifically, it's like a career choice. Like they go to the places footballers hang out to meet them.
Yeah.
It's like they what they wear, how they dress. They're like, oh, this is where footballers hang out. So it's like, it's like work. It's like a job interview, you know. They're highly qualified people, but they're only qualified to marry footballers.
That's they're qualified in a very specific set of skills. Right. It's like Liam Neeson, but very different.
Yeah, I mean, you've just got to know who they've got away next week and do your Kegels.
I mean, you should do those anyway, Tom. That's just good practice. That's not just for wax. I mean,
to sort of butcher a Doug Stanhope bit, I've got a baby carrot in right now.
What an image.
Wow.
Particularly as you're there in an almost full face of makeup at this stage. This is not how I thought we'd meet, Athena.
But to be fair, a carrot's a wise choice of vegetable.
It's a good, it's tapered. So it's a good
Exactly.
It's the angle of the taper. You don't want to pass in it, which tapers too acutely. You want a gentle taper. So carrot wise, yes.
But is it like one of those situations though? I'd worry about like when I was in Amsterdam and I had the big pint stein. I put my arm through it to see if I could hang it off my wrist, then couldn't get my hand out. What if you created a situation like that, but intimately? Then you become one of those stories, don't you?
Are you in the metro?
I think that
you're in Channel 5.
And hope for the best.
24 hours in A&E.
Yeah.
Because like carrots and parsnips, they're biodegradable, but how soon? Tom, you see?
But I get one. They should sell them a bits of string. And then they could yank them out.
Or you could tie them to a doorknob like you did with like loose teeth when you were a child, so you could get a fairy.
You guys do know that sex toys exist, right? There is this precision implements that you can buy instead of whacking vegetables up there.
Yeah, but Tom is using Rimmel.
This is
not
true.
A man investing in self-care.
This is true.
I'm not sure how we got to this. The subject was local pubs.
Rimmel.
I've got a pub story.
Oh, please.
Oh, yeah.
I've got two pub stories. So I used to work in this workplace and we all used to get drunk every afternoon because, not drunk, but we used to drink during the day because it was one of those jobs. And this is a boring anecdote, but I'll tell you. And in those days, it was a very popular pub chain we went to and they used to do 5 San Miguel's for £5.
Wow.
And I used to drink those a lot. So I got the nickname San Miguel. So that's one story. The next story is I once went to a curry and whatever night with some friends in a different pub but same chain. And every man in that pub, we could see his butt crack. It was quite remarkable.
Every single one.
There was about three or four old men scattered around the pub, which is fair enough. But it was remarkable that every one of them was where one of them had trousers tied with rope. Like a rope belt. And that was when I started to question my life choices. Because I looked up, me and my friends said, why are we here?
Like rope rather than string?
I was going to say, Tom must be horrified to hear this. It's a man holding trousers up with rope.
So, and that was when I decided I should probably spend less time in this particular chain of pubs drinking and more.
Well, I don't know which chain of pubs you're talking about, but I can tell you, both of the Wetherspoons near me have also shut.
Oh, well, that's...
No way! Mm. I used to live
One
there.
One of them is now a super drug.
Oh, ooh, proper shot. That's where you do shot. Get Rimmel.
That's where I get my Rimmel.
That's where you get Rimmel. Super Jug's a very good shot. I don't begrudge Super Jug taking over weather.
No, that's a fancy Super Jug as well.
Another one that has kept the same name and become a £6 pint pub.
Oh.
It used to be a Wetherspoons. You can tell when an area's on the turn.
Yeah.
I am one street away from Haringey. I'm in Islington. Thank God. Oh.
That means nothing to a lot of people, Tom. This is a podcast that goes out to the world.
I think the phrasing kind of gave people a clue, even though they might not geographically know.
I don't even know which I don't get which one's not which one is Haringey undesirable.
Which one's not salubrious?
I would be happy to die in Islington. because honestly, the Islington refuse collection.
Is it timely?
Oh my God! You can time your watch by it. It's Thursday. I don't know what kind of watch I've got. It just tells me the day. But.
We need the lockdown to be over soon, I think. Cause...
Yeah, no one's going mad at all.
Yeah. When I lived in Bethnal Green, the local pub to me, the most local pub, like your most local pub, had a sliding scale of prices. So the pints got cheaper the more appropriate it was to have pints. Oh, so if you're in there at 10:30, it was like £3. And if you're in there in the afternoon, it was £5. It was amazing. Cash only.
Oh,
obviously. Cash only bar. And we only went in there once because they knew we didn't belong. So we had our drink. We by mutual agreement.
No butt cracks hanging out in your party. I'm sorry.
Yeah, by mutual agreement, we decided to not come again. We were not made welcome. I think basically everything I asked for, they said they didn't have, even though I could see they had it. I was like, okay, I understand. That's fine.
It's so like a scene in Pretty Woman, but with pubs.
But like the opposite. Yeah. You're too nice to come in here. Your money is too good. Your plastic card-based money is no good here. And they did a meat raffle as well.
East London pubs are great. They're the one thing that you can gentrify the whole of East London. Those pubs will still remain. They're quite remarkable.
Oh, that sounds like a great pub. Remember pubs?
It sounds like one of those awful places that makes you not use your smartphone. You know, you get pubs that are like, don't come in here if you're going to go on your smartphone.
Yeah. Think, talk to each other. Yeah. Fuck off.
Like the old days. All those like inspirational message boards on the outside.
Make sure you have enough interesting people in here that I don't need to look at my phone.
Literally, the whole of the world, save. The
I
whole
am
of the world.
To people. They're in here.
Yeah, I'd rather the whole of the world, thank you. They should fuck off. So arrogant.
I know, it's like, because me and my husband were going to the pub when we were allowed, and it's just a different place for us to look at our phones. Because what have we got to talk about? We've got no news. There is no news in this house.
The only thing to say to your partner
is that it's something that's still happening.
Just the only thing to say to your partner is put the kettle on. So if the kettle's not nearby, I have nothing to say to you. Nothing. We're in Tesco's. There's no. The kettle is not here. Just stay. Just complete silence. Pick up the leak. Do you know what I mean? Just say nothing.
The chat in the supermarket is my husband trolling me, going, "You've touched that. You have to buy it now. Are you going to touch all the vegetables?" And like, he's just following me around, chipping away at me. This is why some relationships aren't surviving lockdown.
Mm.
You have to think, you know, oh, am I allowed to test this avocado?
No, but you're not supposed to. And I've had several disappointing avocado experiences as a result of that roulette.
I've got one that's just fucking sitting there being a bastard.
Man, they just don't soften.
And mine was reduced. It was supposed to be on the way out. How is it a blunt force weapon? Like, how? I'm so disappointed. And then you try and just hack into it in case there's a little bit of flesh that might be ripe. And then you've just ruined it. Mm. So I've got like a few beaten up ones in the fridge because I haven't got the heart to throw them away and admit that I am the problem. So they just, someone else can throw them away.
Make guac.
Well, they won't soften.
It's like digging into a stone. That's the problem. She can't get any of the flesh out.
And you know when
you can make guac with a hard one.
Oh, okay.
That's a mild experience.
Yeah, that did sound weird.
It's like, because it's such a first world problem to like have an avocado that's not right. But when your world is within four walls, it is so much bigger a problem than it's ever been. Because like you look forward to meals because there's nothing else. I'm eating my lunch thinking about what I'm having for tea. Like, because
I'm cooking for, well, one of my flatmates has gone to stay with his girlfriend for a bit. But I've been pretty much cooking for both of them all the time, but just because it's something to do, isn't it?
takes up some time. It's like, why are you cutting that cucumber so thin? Because what else have I got to do? Because the sense of achievement when it's almost translucent is huge.
I've got a two-year-old, and the effort I'm putting into this girl's dinner, because she gives a shit. Do you know what I mean? She doesn't care. But I've even started, when I cut up my fish fingers, I do it at an angle now. I don't just put them on the plate. I sometimes like do it nicely, like, you know, pile them up.
Do you remember all the fuss about like bento box mums? This was years before we were all locked at home, and there were these mums that had full-time jobs and would put on bento boxes for their kids to go to school with every day, and it was all like beautifully sculpted rice looking like a panda and all this kind of stuff. Is that what you've become? You're now like just doing bento boxes?
So, and I'm not even putting them on Instagram. I'm a waste.
What?
Absolute waste.
Come on.
My toddler dinners. Yeah. Today she's getting sweet potato fries. She's getting a vegetarian sausage. And she's getting boiled plantain. And it's all going to look like, I'm going to make, what should I make it look like? A bus. She likes buses.
Put it up. I'll link Instagram.
And I can make a little bus stop from the sweet potato fries. Yeah, I'll try my best.
Please cut this out, Vix. But Athena, what is your secret for sweet potato fries? Because I can't do them.
Corn flour. So before you put them in the oven, get a small amount of corn flour. Just like dust them. I season them with salt, pepper.
Do you parboil them first?
No, don't parboil them, they're too soft. Okay. They're too soft, yeah. But cut them quite, you want to cut them quite small, but yeah, corn flour, thin, and season before, not after. So just put your salt and your pepper on before, and hot oven, got to be hot.
Why did you want this cut out? Is it because you want to take credit for Athena's work?
No, I thought it'd be really boring for the listener.
I don't think so.
There's nothing boring, right? Because sweet potato fries are they go soggy. Cornflour.
Yeah, I've never been able to cook them.
Because I'm quite good at, you know, just normal chips. But, you know, if I can have
polenta, polenta will work as well if you haven't got cornflour.
Okay.
That's staying in.
That's helpful. That's doing everybody a service, let's be honest.
Right, well, unbelievably, I think we've done two categories and this is probably the last one. We've covered a four.
You sent me about 60. I was like, oh my gosh.
I know. There's never any risk we're going to get through anymore. I think six is the record. And that was when Maureen Younger insisted on new balls for something. So
I forgot about our cards.
The new balls are. I know, we're just having a good time. It's just a chat. It's what happens when you record on a Friday afternoon. Right, meeting famous people. Any of us? Anyone met any famous people? Tom, have you got? I mean, I feel like you've got endless stories about this because you've talked about a few. But
well, I've told you the Brian Blessed one, haven't I?
I think so.
And I've told you the Dawn French one.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've got any that are as good as those two. But so I will pass to the others, and then I'll be sorry. I managed to hit the guitar.
The worst story that reflects really poorly on me.
Amazing, that is the dream.
I can't, when I'm in public situations, I go to pieces. Like, it's like my brain stops working, it stops interpreting things. So I really, really love the horn section, which Alex Horn, as in Taskmaster Alex Horn, is in. So it's like my tradition that every year I go to when they play in Cardiff. And last time, literally before the pandemic happened, they played in Cardiff and I went on my own and had a front row seat and it was perfect, it was lovely. at the end of it, they did like a queuing thing. So you could buy stuff off the lads that were selling, you could buy CDs and what have you. And then Alex Horn was stood there and there's a massive queue for him. So we were all waiting to see Alex. And I was talking to, there was Ed Sheldrake and Joe Auckland that were selling stuff behind the counter. And I came out with the quite epic, can I take a photo with you while we wait? Which in my head was like, I also want a photo with you. But in their heads has read like, you are my second choice. I'm just literally here while I'm in a queue. Maybe let's just have a photo. Why not? Screw it.
Yeah. And I was Should we try and get mortified. Alex Horn in the background?
And then the worst thing is I got to Alex, right? And I'd said to him, again, just trying to make conversation. I'm so socially awkward. I tried to make conversation with him and I said, oh, I came last year with my friend, but because he's quite fussy, we'd had to sit really far back. And I said, oh, the acoustics were very bad. So this year I thought, right, I'll book a front row seat, get in early. Alex Horn apologised to me for the state of the acoustics the previous year. And I'm just thinking, so I can't show my face.
You criticise the show.
I've said is banned poorly.
The show that just done because as performers, we all know we can take criticism of yesterday's show, but not today.
Oh no! To be fair, I absolutely praised that one. I also showed myself up because there was a guy saying, "Oh, has it got Chinese Five Spice on the CD?" And I went, "Yeah, it's like the first one." And the actual band had to look at the back of the sleeve and went, "Oh yeah, you're right." I was like, "Yeah, I've listened to it quite a lot." It's not good.
It's not. I'm the same. I'm not going to name him just because it's embarrassing. You never know. One day, I've got to stop naming people like this is a little conversation I'm having with three others because you never know. Like, what if I get famous and then people listen back to all these? I can see quite a famous actor in a Shakespearean play and I saw him at the bar afterwards and I was really excited and I rocked up and he was like, what did you think of it? And I was like, oh, it was all right. That's what I had to say.
And I know you didn't mean it like that either. Maybe, it's just, it comes out of your mouth and then it's too late to take it back.
It was true though. I did think it was all right, which is why I then doubled down and I was like, oh, the second bit was really dramatic, but the first bit I felt like you played it for laughs and it was quite serious. So yeah. It was a critique that he didn't want.
Why would he ask you? He should just be like, hello, nice to meet you. Like, when I come off after a gig, if I meet someone, I don't go, did you enjoy it? I just sort of I would never do that. I would know if you enjoyed it by how the gig went.
And also the look in their eyes.
It's not like I didn't have time to prepare because I'd spent a good half an hour staring at the back of his head to the point it probably burnt holes in before making my approach. And that was the best thing. I can't even remember. That's how.
No, you can. Come on.
Can tell us what it was. Was it? Because we won't. I won't know which actor it was because I don't know who plays what. So you might as well say.
Well, I can't. I genuinely can't remember. It was a Shakespeare. I do PR that bad. Job.
Anything is your opinion on how the play was if you can't even remember which fucking play it was.
The plays are quite different. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, they're all versions of what.
If it was good, I would have remembered it, wouldn't I?
If you don't, if you don't want feedback, don't ask.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you remember an aspect of it?
Benedict Cumberbatch, very good, very good. I remember that.
I'll tell you something. Someone came up to me after a gig once and said, comedy's hard, isn't it?
Oh, no!
Wow.
And I went, yes. It's hard. So that's, I've had those moments.
My worst thing ever after a show was a play at the Fringe. My mother said to me afterwards, it wasn't really acting, was it, Thomas?
Oh dear. Yeah, somebody came up to me from the audience at one of the shows that I ran to say that he'd not enjoyed one of the comedians but had gone to comfort them because everybody has a bad night. And I was like, oh, don't ever do that again. No. It's like, oh, I told her. I told her it was fine, and I'm sure she's normally very good. I was like, don't ever do
oh,
that.
God.
That was the same. I mean, like,
it's a nice impulse, but it is a bad result.
Yeah, because he was like, no, you could see that she could tell it hadn't gone well. And I was like, even more, don't do that then.
And also, like, our gigs don't go well all the time. Like, this is really normal for us. So we just kind of brush it off. But, like, for an audience member, it must be the worst thing ever for them. They might only see comedy, like, once a year. And it's like, oh, no.
Yeah. Like, when they really feel for you.
Yeah.
Like, and you think, no, that's cool.
I mean, like, there were bad gigs where you think you're right, and there are bad gigs when you think you're wrong.
Mm.
And you don't, in either of those situations, want any of the audience coming up to you.
Oh, they were really sweet, though, because they clearly had never been to a comedy gig before, these boys. Three, like, quite laddie lads that were a good 3 or 4 pints in.
Yeah.
And they positively heckled all the acts.
Because
they were surprised every time by how good they all were. And so they were verbally supporting it as though it was a football match. So they were like, yeah, yeah, that's really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they challenged another heckler, not realizing that that was not any help. So somebody else did try to heckle that was actually all right. And probably
I would have to throw four people out of an Edinburgh show. And I just knew it was going to happen. I just knew it was going to happen because two of them came in, but then left before the start of the show.
Oh.
Obviously, to go to the bar. And then both of the two came back with 4 pints each. Oh, Jesus.
These are people that want to pay attention.
Hello, red flag.
Pumped for that concentration that they're going for.
Like, I'm just like, do I deal with it now? No, I'll just wait till
it play out.
Which it will.
I like a challenge. Let's see what happens.
And I started doing a sad bit about half an hour in, and oh my God, turns out the drunk meathead man. Oh, they were white men. Did I need to tell you that?
No.
you know, they just like couldn't handle like a little bit of downtime in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing a sad bit. And one of them was like, fucking stop it. What? Wait, what do you
stop?
What do you even mean?
Stop bringing everyone down. Stop, like, stop putting yourself down. What did he? What's the?
Like, I had no idea, and it took about 6 minutes to get them out.
That's very specific. Were you timing it?
Well, it ate into the timing of your show.
Yeah, that's how.
I have the recording of it, and it's really awkward.
Oh, but they were funny because they were literally like, somebody chipped in and they were like, leave him alone, he's doing a good job. I was like, what is happening? I've lost control of this game.
I mean, once we got them out, the rest of the audience were real onside, but
nothing brings everybody together like communal hatred of an arsehole. Yeah. I miss catching someone's eye on the tube when someone's being a dickhead and just knowing, having that little moment of understanding you have as you both move carriages together.
Yeah. Well, there's like a chair that smells of piss and everyone just stays away from the chair.
Yeah. Someone goes towards it, everyone's like, ooh.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, yeah, someone's going, no, don't sit there. Don't sit there. Those little moments. Humanity is
not that one. Not that one.
Yeah.
Not that one.
Someone's been sick under that one. Like, I miss everything about the world.
People. Oh. Weren't they good?
They were all right, weren't they, when you look back?
Generally, they were fine.
has anyone else met a celebrity? Jen, we can't leave Jen just hanging there with that. I suppose we can, actually.
I mean, I've got more stalker stories about Dick and Dom, but let's move on.
Dick and Dom don't qualify as celebrities.
That's outrageous. Apparently, they've got a thing on HBO coming, because they've been doing like daily vlogs of stuff that's happening in the world, because they can't get out and do any work. So they've been doing stuff on Instagram Live. And now HBO have picked it up, but it won't broadcast anywhere outside of America.
What?
I know. What?
Well, good for them, I guess. But yeah, but that's, they're going to represent the UK in America. Yeah. So America's going to think all different.
Good luck, everybody.
But the problem is, they'll never make it here because of Ant and Dick. Ant and Dick will have to die for Dick and Dom to
that's
get
true.
Half out.
The ascension is clear.
So they can't make it over here. So they need to get out of the Ant and Dick.
Ant and Dick.
I'm surprised they weren't cancelled. What have Ant and Dec got to do to get cancelled? Because they've gone pretty far down the cancelled route and they're still around.
Yeah. Do you remember when PJ knocked over that kid and he got drunk and he ran a child over?
Yeah.
That was amazing.
People like my mum went, he's sorry.
They were like, oh, never mind.
Nobody actually died. It was fine.
My mum's opinions are rich and varied.
They were like, he's trying to have children, he can't have them, it's depressing. It's like, well, yeah, but don't run. You got all the more reason to not run over children, yeah. Surely.
Don't take more kids out of the equation on the way.
Imagine getting so resentful, you just think, well, if I can't have them, no one can.
I mean, the only thing that could have been worse about that situation if he's jizzed during.
Oh, dear me. We can't end
on that.
I've got a good story to end on. I've got a good famous story. So I tell the story a lot because it's a cool thing. It's a cool thing. So when I was 18, I went to Ghana for the first time. And I stayed there for ages, and there's a village I'm from called Ada. And a computer centre was open there, and my dad was like, oh, we can go, and there'll be like celebrations. So we went. It turns out this computer centre was being opened by Scientologists, right? And the Scientologists sent two of their representatives to open it and to like do the festivities, whatever. And those two Scientologists were Isaac Hayes, right? Isaac Hayes, the singer and chef of Sci-Fi, and Nancy Cartwright, who does all the
music. Oh my
Simpsons.
God!
And
oh my
I was
God!
Just like, and the thing was, it was just wild. And
did you join?
I was hanging out with them like the whole day. It was so weird. And the crazy thing is, I'm the biggest Simpsons fan. Like, and at the time, I was like, now I've got kids and all kinds of things going on. But before, that's all I had in my life, just the Simpsons, right? So I wasn't just a big Simpsons. I was just amazed. And my mum kept on telling Nancy Cartwright, oh, she doesn't let us watch the news. We have to watch the Simpsons all the time. And I was just like, this is so embarrassing. And then my mum made her do all the voices. And then afterwards, she said, well... And I was trying to explain to my mum who Nancy Cartwright was, and she said, well, she doesn't look like much of an actress, you know, like, she thought she'd like Nicole Kidman or something. And obviously, if you've ever seen Nancy Cartwright...
Looking for voice work all the time.
Yeah, and if you've seen Nancy Cartwright, she's a bit of a plain Jane, like, she's not, let's, you know...
Well, no, but Kidman's an interesting thing to say there, because she...
She married Tom Cruise, obviously.
And did the 10 years, and then fucking got out.
Yeah, but did she open a computer center in Ghana? No. And Isaac Hayes, they made him a chief. They made him a chief of the village, and they put him on a palanquin, which is that kind of big, kind of straw chair that you carry around. Yeah. They do it, you know. You've seen him on.
I didn't know Isaac Hayes was one.
Oh no, honestly, wild. I reckon they do it for the holidays. to be honest, and that was a crazy day. Another brand. Yeah, I won't go. Yeah, that was probably the.
No,
yeah,
go on.
That was a good one.
I'm loving
it. I'm now thinking,
would I do Scientology to be chief of a village? I think maybe.
Yeah, it's all ceremonial, but fuck it, you get to get carried around.
Sounds well fun.
I've got pictures. I've got pictures of them and all sorts. it's Isaac Hayes. You never think in your life you're going to meet Isaac Hayes.
Yeah.
Under those circumstances.
Nancy Cartwright possibly, but not Isaac Hayes. Nah, I've never met Isaac Hayes in my whole life.
Isaac Hayes did fall out with the South Park creators. That's why he left over Scientology, because he thought they'd been too insulting to Scientology.
Of course, I've forgotten
and it's like,
about
it's
that.
South
yeah,
Park, what do you think
right.
they're going to do?
Yeah.
It's loving.
Everybody's game.
And a side point, the computers were shit. It was like, this is not how... We have real issues with sending crap technology to developing countries. We don't want it anymore. Have our VHS... you know, have it all. And it's, you know, the looks at the computer, like, these are a bit shit, to be honest.
Betamax, what am I going to do with this?
But yeah, good game. Yeah. And I went back to Ghana last January, and the centre was still there. So the building stood. The computers are probably not.
Yeah. They still. Yeah.
But the building's still there. So there you go.
RM Nimbus.
PVC. Yeah. Making little turtle robots move around. That was great. Yeah.
That was a special day in school.
Yeah.
When you've got to use the computer.
30 kids all around one computer. Yeah.
I got to use the computer years of age. You're 5 minutes moving the blob around. Right, yeah, anyway, let's go around and talk about everything that we're doing.
Sure.
While I take the 2 seconds to tot up the scores. Tom Ooh. Tuck, what are you doing?
I am doing precious little, but some.
You'd never tell.
it me having loads of makeup near me whilst I'm bare physical, not a tell.
Well, I'm dressed like a Hollyoaks actress on the red carpet, and it's for this, so I too am.
And your boss.
Not busy.
In fact, the three of you come see Meryl O'Rourke's show tomorrow on Zoom. When this comes out, it will be over. But,
oh, so we have to.
I will give you a free link to it. It's an amazing show. It's about consent and the Me Too movement and what consent means in the modern age. I directed it. It was supposed to be recorded live soon. And this Zoom show was supposed to be the last version before the live record, but that's almost probably not going to happen. So it's just another version of it. It's brilliant, 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 brilliant. Otherwise, you can buy my DVD if you just email me.
I mean, we'd have to ship in DVD players from Ghana, but because we're all discless now. But
if you don't have a DVD player, go and buy the digital version of my show. From gofasterstripe.com.
Oh, lovely.
I might do that because I did buy the DVD because it had fun cover art, but then realised I had no capability to play it. So,
I'll get you a link, Vic. Sorry, I didn't realise you haven't been able to watch it.
Well, I didn't tell you because it was embarrassing because I bought a thing for a thing that I didn't have. So,
I'll get a link for you.
Yay! I'll have a viewing party. It'll be great. And Jen, where will we find you on the internet?
Well, tomorrow I will obviously be watching Tom's show because it sounds excellent and very earnest and I like that. It's really dragged it down and made me look like a dick now, but I am mainly pissing around on the internet with strangers. So YouTube and Twitch is Jenna Gade Master because I am hilarious and I think that's funny.
It's very funny.
It comes from the fact that when I was doing roller derby briefly in a post-divorce, losing my mind over everything, I did roller derby and I was going to call myself Jenna Gade Faster. Hey. But it doesn't really work off skates.
Didn't you also try pole dancing and you were allergic to pole?
Yeah, so I've got a really massive nickel allergy and I did one pole dancing lesson in literally the middle of Cardiff Bay. So I was dead a night down in the docks in Cardiff Bay. It couldn't have looked more like I was going to get robbed. And then I did this pole dancing lesson. And at the end of the thing, I just looked at my hands and it was
thank God it was your hands. Do you know what I mean?
It was awful.
The things you wrap around that pole, I mean, you're like,
a shorter shorts, and that would have been a much bigger issue.
And she completely tried to sign me up for more classes. And I was like, I mean, this could be a problem long term. I'm not going to lie to you. She's like, see a doctor and then come back to us and give us like 50 quid. Thanks.
Or get yourself a gold pole. You know what I mean? We don't want your pole between our legs. Argos jewellery pole. Graceful. Clay's accessory pole.
I've started doing like aerobics over Skype with an impossibly flamboyant man. I did sheer aerobics this morning and I feel like I've been in a car accident. It was meant to be. It's like the easiest level that you could do. And I was like doing the warm up thinking, I can manage this. And then he was like, right, let's start the work. I was like, you what? I'd started the work.
I hate it when you're knackered from the warm up. It happens to me so often.
Aerobics. Snap out of it. It's aerobics.
Is that spelled C-H?
Yeah, it's aerobics. Share. So you also learn.
Okay. I mean, yeah, no. I mean, it's good marketing. It just took me a second.
There's a,
it's
move
a specific niche.
Yeah. There's also a kistery session. So it's all like R&B, which is amazing. I just watched that from the floor. We were doing floor work and I just couldn't get up. So I just lay and watched it. It was a good thing to watch. But yeah, I'm not any fitter for it. But that is how I'm spending my time. Athena, what about you? So that's sad little snapshot of my life. In my box fresh PE kit, because I had to buy new stuff, obviously, because it's like, this is my thing.
Don't call it a PE kit. This is your life.
It's exercise I don't want to do. It's a PE kit.
It's just some clothes that you now own.
Well, it is now. Now it's loungewear. But when I bought it, it was meant to be.
If it's PE kit, you've got to write your name in it, and you have to have a little box called Lost Property.
You've got to sew in actual labels.
Yeah.
Well, I washed my old one. It had like little cups, like a sports bra, and they went all wrinkled, and I couldn't work it out. I couldn't fix it, so I had to buy another one. Again, these are just sad facts about my life. This isn't comedy. Yesterday, I thought I'd got COVID because I couldn't breathe, and it was because my bra is too tight.
Could you imagine if you went to go test?
My ribs feel so constricted. It's like, this is the end. This is how it ends. And then
I had a similar thing when I was eating something the other day, and then I realised it was just very bland.
The Wagamamas.
No, it was my own cooking, so I am ashamed.
Anyway, what are you doing that's much more fun than that?
Nothing. I just have a podcast. It's called Keeping Athena Company. So you can come, you can listen to that. There's loads of episodes up. Otherwise, on the social media, it's just my name. You know, come say hi.
And yeah, I only if you promise to put the lunches up.
Yeah,
show us the lunches
on Instagram.
I'm going to put my toddler dinner up tonight. I'm going to tag you all. All right, my toddler dinner is going up on Twitter tonight.
Yes, please.
Right? We're going to see the effort I'm putting into this. This insolent child's mood, and the way she will push the plate away if she looks at it and she's not pleased. You will not see this on MasterChef, you know, and they're rude on MasterChef. It's worse.
It's worse than
MasterChef the Professionals. You know?
Ooh, the professional. When you fuck up a MasterChef the Professionals, it's worse. The professionals, that shit's rude.
Is it? All right. Well, we'll see if it's rude because this girl's rude. So I don't know.
See, that's a TikTok, that is. You giving him more and more amazing, elaborate meals and having to reject them. She's got what it takes. She could be a star.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, Athena is the winner. The standout
winner. Oh, shut up. Really?
Yeah.
I think
Rimmel was going to be the winner.
I don't think there are any winners.
Never the winner.
No.
No. We couldn't reward that.
I didn't realise, but this is also Rimmel.
Amazing.
God, Tom
looks fabulous.
Other brands exist.
I didn't buy any of these. I didn't steal any of them either.
It's a good job this isn't the BBC, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Other brands are available, but even though it's not BBC, don't buy Rimmel. Have some respect for yourself.
Buy Barry M. You're better off doing. Like, you're better off with all kinds of things. You're better off with Sleek. Even Tom's laughing at that. That's how bad Rimmel is.
I can't believe he's the token man and we spent the whole of the hour bullying him about makeup. Oh dear me. This is the first game that you've played and not won, Tom. Are you losing your touch? Yeah.
Is it a fix because of your fallout?
No, you've had an unbroken record up until now.
No,
fuck. Oh well. You didn't know you had it and now you've lost it. But yeah, thank you for playing Comedy Arcade. Thanks to everybody for listening. This has been quite the rollercoaster episode. thanks for listening to The Comedy Arcade. There'll be a new episode next Thursday with new balls and new guests. If you liked it, like us any way you can and subscribe and tell all your friends. Also, tell us. We're in all the usual places on all the social media. And if you didn't, this is the Peter Crouch podcast, which is, I don't know, sport? Football. Yay!
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.